Just a short introduction of him. He's Reverend Dr. Raymond Song. He's a Korean-American from Chicago. And he's an ordained minister of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, USA. He has served in the local church for the pastoral ministry for 19 years. And he's been a staff member of CREW for 15 years in the US and in Japan. And currently, he's a lecturer at East Asia School of Theology, teaching intercultural studies. He and his wife, Justine, who is also a lecturer at East, have two sons, and they are working in Chicago. So without further ado, please.
Good morning. It's great to be with you. I must apologize for last time. I was supposed to come here last year. I believe it was October. I had some medical issues and just something happened. I couldn't get out of the hospital. Actually, I tried to sneak out, but they won't let me out. But this time, I want to make sure that I come and show you that I'm a real person. But as you notice, I was limping coming up. Last Sunday, I was playing tennis. I pulled my calf muscle. So for this past week, I've been kind of sitting at home and putting ice on. And just yesterday or Friday, I was barely kind of start walking a little bit. So, but I was determined to come. So Pastor John don't have to kind of show another excuse to you. But it's great joy to be with you. Not just that I could speak to you, but the ways that we can worship God together. I've been around quite a few places in the world, and it's always a great joy to worship around the world. So with that note, I'd like to pray. So join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give you all the glory and honor to you and give you thanks for this day we can come together into your holy presence and worship together as a brother and sisters in the family of God together. Father, as we come, we pray that you will minister to us through your Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord, things that you want us to hear, the things that you want us to look into our hearts in reflection of who Christ is in us. And so guide us and help us to be kind of people that you want us to be. We give all the glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a story told a long time ago about a circus. The circus came into small middle town, and the main attraction of this circus was a gorilla act. What the gorilla would do, he will get onto the swing, and on the right above the open lion's cage, and he will swing around and entertain the audience. But when the circus came into town, unfortunately, gorilla got sick and died, and so the circus captain already sold many tickets. It was a panic. What do we do? And he had a brilliant idea. He thought if we could find a person wearing a gorilla suit, act like a gorilla, well, no one would notice. So sure enough, he found a person, and show went on. And this person enjoyed so much of his gorilla act. He was kind of playing around and teasing a little kitty below. And then there was a moment that he made a mistake, and then he slipped from his swing, and he fell right on the middle of the lion's cage. And in surprise, the lion was right in front of him, growling like he's going to eat him. He's like, "Rawr!" And this man, supposed to be a gorilla, forgot that he's supposed to be a gorilla. And he screamed out loud, he said, "Help! Help!" And then at that moment, he hears a small voice from lion, "Be quiet, you fool. We both will get fired." It wasn't just the gorilla, but lion was fake too. You know, it's kind of a funny story, but it doesn't matter how much they know about gorilla or a lion in the fact, they will never be a true gorilla or a lion. Sometimes we Christians also try to live a Christian life with our own understanding, with our own strength. The way that we thought, oh, this is about Christian life. But when we do that, if you probably notice around us and even our lives, sometimes we will fail. And that we'll make mistakes. We fall into temptation. And the feelings and circumstances will dominate our consciousness and blind our faith in God. Therefore, so many people trying to serve God with their own strength And eventually, they get burnt out in serving God. Someone says the Christian life is so simple that people stumble all over its simplicity. At the same time, it's very difficult because it is a supernatural power that only Christ can live in us. Christian life is the life of Christ reproduced in a believer's life by the power of the Holy Spirit in obedient response to the Word of God. Let me say that again. Christian life is a life of Christ reproduced in a believer's life by the power of the Holy Spirit as we obediently respond to the Word of God. I remember my first year as I became a Christian. It was my freshman year in college. I lived in a such a way that for 18, 19 years without Christ. And I just trying to live as a Christian. I remember my old habits is every day. My desire, selfish desire, things that I was interested in before Christ didn't go away overnight. It took me a long time to learn what Christian life is all about. But there was a point in a moment where I learned that, you know, actually it's not by my strength. It's not my knowledge. How much I know about the Bible doesn't really change me in a way that God wants me to change. I learned there was the power of the Holy Spirit as I learned from the truth of the Word of God. Jesus promised in John 10:10, abundant life. It's a full and meaningful life. Can you imagine we can live fullness of Christ in us in this world? What kind of life that will be like? Let me give you an example. Many of us have a computer. Or a cell phone or any kind of that electronic gadget that use a CPU. You know, the best way to learn using computer is using the 5% of the capacity because it's fast. But the more apps you on, the more power to use, unfortunately, computers kind of slows down. Lately, we have a news about this iPhone. The old phone, they're trying to lower the speed because it's old. Imagine that you have a computer that the more you use, the faster it is, the better it is. And in fact, you can use 100% of capacity that what computer should do as it may. We'll have a more than far better supercomputer. Something like that in our Christian life. It is a possible. It is a possible. Of course, I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect because no one is perfect except Jesus Christ. But as he lives in us, as he works in us, and he uses us, he can help us to live true Christian life because of Christ's resurrected power living his life in and through us. And so, in order for us to live as a God expects us in this world, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the passage I want us to focus on this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. It is a Paul giving instructions to Christians in Ephesus about the conduct of Christian living. And in that process, he shared this little scripture passage. And then right in the middle of that, as a key point, is that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me read this to you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 21. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul says we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is a command. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here, Paul uses two comparisons. One is being wise and foolish. And he compared the wise with be filled with the Spirit, and then foolishness to the getting drunk. Why did he use this comparison here? I don't know how many of you have seen any drunker lately. I have not. So it's kind of difficult to understand this drunk, but we know what it is. I lived in Japan for about 8 years, a long time ago. I was a missionary in Japan, and the lifestyle in Japan is very tight and stressful, especially those working in a company. So every afternoon, company people would invite their team members, office workers, co-workers, including their boss. Typically, they will go have a drink after work. And it's a time for their socialization as well as to time where they could kind of get to know each other and kind of things. And so there are two ways that the Japanese will open their heart. This is something about a little cultural thing. The Japanese don't like to share their inner heart because it's inappropriate. But in a way that they can do that is, one, they will drink. So when enough alcohol goes in, they relax and they can say whatever they want to say kind of thing. So it's just acceptable. And the other is that when they go to a public bath. When you're naked, nothing too high, right? So when that's the culture in Japan, I lived in Tokyo, and about 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, late hours, in a train, you'll see many people drunk. How do you know they're drunk? You know, they walk very funny. They can't walk straight. And sometimes, you know, they cry. Sometimes they laugh. They talk to themselves. Sometimes they fall in anywhere, stretch out in like their bedroom, they sleep. You know, sometimes they make mess and all that. But definitely you can tell, oh, that person's drunk. But if you videotape that person and they show him next day when he's sober, show him, say, look what you did last night. And he'll say, oh, that's not me. Why? Because it's because of alcohol. It was under influence of alcohol, controlled by alcohol. I think what Paul is saying is that who's controlling your life? Who's controlling your life today, right now? Don't be drunk. Be controlled by something other than God. So we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Basically, we must be controlled, empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. And that's the Lord's will. That's what God desires in us. All of us, and in some way or other, would like to know what God's will is for us. You know, when we enter the college, where he wants me to go, when you're trying to find a job, what kind of job, what company, you want to marry, you know, who to go and who to find, where to find, should I marry or not? Many decisions in life, you know, we look things like that as a God's will. But many times God's will is already written in the Word of God, given to us. Of course, there's a way that special revelations God shows us to some people to show his will. But more than anything else, Bible says, this is the Lord's will for you, for all of us, which is to be filled and controlled in power by the Holy Spirit. I'm not necessarily charismatic. I'm a Presbyterian. But Bible is very clear that there's a third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is the one that working and living in us. As Holy Spirit come upon us, it is the desire of God that Holy Spirit wants to take charge of our lives. Imagine you have a little throne in your heart, in your life, okay? The center of your heart. It depends on who sits on that throne. It controls your life, your attitudes, your emotions, and all that is going on with you. Many Christians, unfortunately, they have a Christ in their heart. And therefore, they are with God. The Holy Spirit lives in them. Anyone who confesses the Jesus Christ, the Lord, God Almighty, and that accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, lives with them, and the Christ is with them. However, that doesn't mean that Christ is in control of that person's heart. It is that you have to yield your life. You surrender your life to God. And then allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your heart and emotions and your actions and your will and so on. And so Paul is saying that in order for us to live true Christian life that is honoring God, is serving God in a way that we can, that God expects us, is that we need to surrender our lives to Christ. And that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit means. In fact, the word be filled is a present tense and continuing on moment by moment. You know, when we come to know Jesus Christ personally, accept Christ to receive salvation, we only do once in life. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Save me. Come, live in my life. I believe in you. I trust in you. And at that moment, we are, so-called Bible calls it, we're adopted by children of God. And so we are Christian. However, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a constant thing. It's almost like a breathing in and out. You know, how many of us will breathe in the oxygen and then hold on to it, thinking that that's all there needs for the rest of our lives? You know, you could try that. My little kids, my children, when they were little, they compete each other, two boys. Boys do kind of funny things around. So one day they went to the swimming pool and they competed, say, who can hold the breath longest and then go into the water? And sure enough, they, for 30 seconds or 1 minute. But rarely they go more than 1 minute. I tried that too. It's very difficult. It's hard. It's impossible. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is basically we breathe in the power, in a way, the good oxygen. And so as you listen to the Word of God, daily activities, you read, meditate, obediently follow, and that's a way that we understanding and applying the truth of Jesus Christ into our lives. However, as I mentioned, we're not perfect. Therefore, there's a time we'll sin, we'll make mistakes, we'll grieve the Holy Spirit. And then when that happens, God convicts us. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is the convicting of our sins, leading us to the truth. And so when that moment happened, what do we do? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I've done wrong. Help me to not do it again. And that confession is a breathing out, a bad gas out. And then breathe in and say, once again, by faith, trusting Jesus Christ, living our Christian life by faith. And so it is a moment-by-moment thing. However, at the same time, it's unrealistic that we constantly, consciously say, fill me the Holy Spirit, fill me the Holy Spirit, fill me the Holy Spirit. We can't really do that. Just as you trust Jesus Christ by faith, we fill with the Holy Spirit by faith. We simply ask, Lord Jesus, I need you. Fill me the Holy Spirit. I trust you. And then live, walk faithfully. And there's a time you feel that you're kind of feeling away from God. Once again, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. In the afternoon, in the morning, while you're working, while you're serving a church, or playing around, or eating, even before you go to bed or when you wake up, regularly, when you ride in the car, MRT, you know, it's become a habit for me. It's not necessarily a habit, but I realize without the Holy Spirit, I can't really live each day, each moment. So whenever I can, I simply ask, Lord, I need you. Help me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And by faith, you walk. You walk regularly. Paul says we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you wonder why. Why? I mean, couldn't just God fill us with the Holy Spirit and wouldn't that be enough? Well, Paul says actually in 15 and 16, say we need to be very careful how we live because the days are evil. There's an evil. You know, we need to be realistic. We're not always around with a nice Christian company and community. And unfortunately, even within the church, there's a problem. There's a situation. But out there, it's so full. These are evil. So he says, be very careful. What does it mean? The be very careful means that it is accurately, precisely, or give close attention. So he's saying that be careful how you live each day. You know, you have a plan for day, and you need to be given a serious thought. Is this really pleasing to God? Is this what God wants me to do? As I mentioned, I lived in Chicago. So winter in Chicago is very cold. Here in Singapore, I mean, I used to one time during Christmas season, say, oh, this is a winter break. They go, winter break? What do you mean here in Singapore? We don't have a winter. But in Chicago, even now, it's very cold. And so you'll notice in the winter days and the streets of Chicago is very icy. You ever walked on icy road? You don't run like a dry land. You walk very carefully, one step at a time. Especially like I'm limping, you know, I have to be very careful how I step, you know, put my first step and second step and so on. I need to watch where I'm going. It's the same image and understanding. How am I walking in spirit in this world? So he says, be very careful because the days are evil. As we live each day, God has given us many opportunities to serve him, to get to know him, and to be used by him. And sometimes we miss those opportunities to serve God, to use by God, and to get to know God even greater and deeper ways. One of my favorite movies is The Lord of the Rings. Until when the first movie came out, my children watched that, I don't know how many times, probably a million times, but I watched it with them many times. And there was a scene, as I thought it was very fitting for this message. Gandalf and then Frodo was going with his company to destroy the ring. And they go to this dark underground land. And there was a point where Gandalf kind of forgot where to go, what to do. And so they were sitting and resting. And there was a conversation between Gandalf and Frodo. And Frodo, the burden of carrying this ring was so heavy. He says, I wish the ring never came to me. And then Gandalf says this, you know, actually, it is not for us to decide, but rather what to do with the opportunity that is given to us. What to do with the opportunities that God has given to us. I believe because of that, he says, we need to be careful. Watch out, because there is evil. The days are evil. However, there is an opportunity where we can serve God to live true Christian life, where God can use us, all of us, for his glory. Imagine that what God can do through you in your own life, in your neighborhood, in your own company, your school, working place, even here, this chapel, this is a worship service, what God can do through you. Opportunity will be coming front and back. But yet, when we are not being careful and not being filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll miss those opportunities to be used by God. How do we use those opportunities? Sometimes we need to be careful how we spend our time. there is a study being done studying average 70 years old men, how he spends 70 years of his time. The study shows that he will sleep for 24 years. 14 years of working, 8 years of amusement and pleasures, and 6 years at a dinner table, 5 years in the transportations, and 4 years in conversations. Just to let you know, this is a man. If it is a woman, I'm sure that our year will be skyrocketed. But 4 years in conversation, 3 years in education, and 2 years in maybe studying and reading and so on. Let's say this person is a Christian. Out of 4 years he will spend for miscellaneous pursuit, he will spend 1 hour on Sunday, and throughout 4 minutes a devoted prayer each day, maybe saying grace. In his 70 years, study shows that impressed of only total of 6 months, he'll be dedicate his life for God. Let's say he's more spiritual, so not just Sunday morning, but maybe there's a Wednesday service or Friday service or some other Christian activities, Sunday schools, whatnot. Even all that together, out of 70 years, he will spend 2 years serving God. How about us? How are we spending our time daily? We need to be very careful what we do as we live in Christ Jesus. Well, why is it so many people are not filled with the Holy Spirit then? And the scripture is there. We probably read this many times. One, probably, possibly, is a lack of knowledge. Not a whole lot is mentioned about the Holy Spirit. So it's not informed. So people not aware at how and what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the second thing is basically a lack of faith. Still, we're holding on one hand of our own lives, things that we would not let go. And then on the other hand, we're holding God, hoping that he will do something better in our lives. Well, it is still the lack of trust in God. True, it's very difficult to totally surrender, 100% surrender to God, moment by moment. If we did that, the world would be a different place. The church would be different. There's a lack of desire to please God. There's a lack of desire to putting things that is pleasing to God in our lives. So, believing faith is something that we need to act upon. But so, Bible says, we live by faith. Righteous men shall live by faith. And as I mentioned, the spiritual breeding. You know, it's okay that we fall. But the challenge is that, can you get up and then walk faithfully again? You could say a little child, he start walking and fall, and then start walking and fall, and then stop walking and say, no, I will never be able to walk. You know? And sometimes many Christians feel that way. I'm sinners, I'm nothing, I can't do anything. There's a time when we need to surrender our lives to God, re-examine ourselves. Is it truly Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of my life? And that's what being filled with the Holy Spirit is, moment by moment. Paul also talks about, what if we are filled with the Holy Spirit? What happens to us? Verse 19 to 21, he talks about three things. One is a heart of worship will be given to us. Verse 19, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. You know, when you're joyful, you know, I don't know about you, but I like to, you know, hum. It's like, you know, I'm so joyful. I sing praise, and you know, it is a nature, the human being. When we feel good, we express that. In the same way that as we feel the Holy Spirit, the joy comes in our heart, so that we can sing praise to God. And it says that with one another, it's a way of a wonderful worship and the community of faith. And that we can sing praise God. What was truly the bottom of our heart, there's nothing hindering us in worshiping God and singing praise. Have you ever been to that kind of surrounding and kind of time of worship? It's just an awesome feeling. It's a great, wonderful time. And then Paul says, we'll have this heart of worship. Interestingly, this heart of worship, it also leads us to the heart of thanksgiving to God. Verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in everything, not just when you're joyful, but when you're sad, when you're in a tough times, when you don't know what to do, even that time, even that kind of situation, Paul says, the Bible says, we need to give thanks to God. And how can we do that? Only by the Holy Spirit. There was a time when I will do a funeral sermon. And it's the most tough and difficult situation, especially looking at to the family, and especially when the deceased person is young. I gave a sermon to a family. It was a young girl died out of a heart attack. This is kind of mind-boggling, but she died alone at her own apartment. She was about 30 years old, and she had a heart attack middle of the night. She died, and for 5 days, no one noticed. And in that kind of situation, the parents, there's this, you know, their world has gone. And are you trying to minister to them? What can you do? Well, Word of God still stands, of course, trying to comfort as much as we can. But even a situation like that, how can we give thanks to God? There's no way in our own strength. Only by God, by Him, and His power. And then it says, the heart of submission to each other. Verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If we practice this every day, you know, most of the family situations and church situation will be resolved. If we submit to one another out of reverence of God, how can we fear God? How can we have this reverence to God? It's only by the Holy Spirit. And as we submit ourselves to God, we submit to one another. A lot of times, some people use this with the next clause, which is about the relationship between husband and wife. But this is really not necessarily connect with that. This actually connects into this feeling of the Holy Spirit. As we surrender our lives to God, the way we surrender our lives to God as a husband and wife is not to one another. Not that wives to surrender or submit to the husband, but it's more to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Master, who brings us together in one. And so submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When there's a dispute, remember, as I submit to Jesus Christ, I submit to one another as a respect. That's what the Holy Spirit will do to us. That's how Holy Spirit will work in us, and He will change us and transform us into the image of Jesus Christ moment by moment. I have to say, it's not an overnight thing. It takes a long time. Some people do change overnight. Some bad habit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they just give up. And they can change because of the power of God. But most of us, probably not. It takes some time. It takes some time. But little by little, you can trust God. Lord, this area, I want to give it to you. I surrender to you. Change me. Use me. Mold me into the image of Jesus Christ. And God says, I will. I will. And then you simply walk with faith, trust in Him moment by moment. Let me close with this little story. This actually happened a long time ago in a little town in Texas. There is a small elementary school in a small town, and middle of the school day, the school caught fire, and the many children and teachers perished. And so the whole town got together. They said, well, we're going to build a brand new elementary school, and we're going to put the world's finest sprinkler system so that this tragedy will never happen again. And somehow, small town pulled all their finances together, got together, and they built this brand new school. And when visitor comes, the students often take visitors to show this the world's finest sprinkler system. It says that that tragedy will never happen again in our school. Well, after schools opened, a little later, the fire marshal, fire station came and inspected the building. And during the inspection, they discovered that the world's finest sprinkler system was never hooked up with the water power from the beginning. They could spend millions and millions of dollars with a brand new world's finest sprinkler system, but when the incident happened, it's useless. Well, we can have a great Bible. We can have a wonderful pastor. We can have a great building, facilities, many people, great money, finance, and skills, whatnot. However, if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are not used by God, if we are not walking in spirit with Him, all that we're trying to do will be useless in the kingdom of God. So God's inviting us today and every moment, as He so delight to be with you, inviting you, fill the Holy Spirit. Allow me to control your life. Let me empower you so that you can live the way that will be pleasing to me and also be good for you in the kingdom of God. So, in closing, I'd like to invite you to have a little prayer, a way of an expression of your faith and your heart as a prayer to invite and allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him." If you are sincere and true and honest and genuine and asking God to do and fill you with the Holy Spirit, God says, "That's His will, I will do it." So prayer is something like this. "Dear Father, I need you. I acknowledge that I have been in control of my life, and as a result, I have sinned against you. I thank you that you have forgiven my sins through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now invite Christ again to take control of the throne of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit as you have commanded me to be filled and as you promised in your word that you would do if I ask in faith. I pray this in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. As an expression of my faith, I now thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit and taking control of my life." If this is a prayer, something that expresses the desire of your heart, all we could do is that whether we close eyes or open our eyes, whether we say it in loud or in your heart, it doesn't matter. God knows you. God hears you. But the point is that your attitude of your heart to God. So why don't we pray? And I invite you to do so if it is express your heart. What I will do, I'm going to read phrase by phrase. And if that's your desire, I want you to pray with me together. Let's pray. "Dear Father, I need you. I acknowledge that I have been in control of my life. And as a result, I have sinned against you. I thank you that you have forgiven my sins through Christ's death on the cross for me. I now invite Christ again to take control of the throne of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit as you have commanded me to be filled. And as you promised in your word that you would do if I ask in faith. I pray this in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. As an expression of my faith, I now thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit and for taking control of my life. Amen." Father, it's a great joy to be with you each day, each moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross and sending Holy Spirit to be with us. And through Him, you are with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, how you are working in our hearts and lives to convict us and to lead us to truth and to glorify Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray that your people here at Calvary Chapel will walk with you faithfully in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we pray that you will fill us, Holy Spirit, use us for your glory. As you realize each day is the opportunity that you've given to us to glorify you, to serve you. Father, may you be glorified through us. May you be honored. Then may we enjoy the benefit of living the resurrected power of Jesus Christ in us moment by moment. So we give you thanks and praise and for blessings you've given to us and all that you are doing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.